the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 4417 90. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture. Well, we got some sad news and some very good news for you. I think we should begin with the good news. The West Indies, a big, big victory against Bangladesh. Oh, in fact, when I was watching my television on the weekend, I couldn't believe it. And that man, Kyle Mears, had a first officer and a Jamaican called Mr. Bonner. And then towards the end, we saw Josh De Silva come into the party. And it turned out to be a performance worthy of commendation. And from Kingston in Jamaica right through to Barbados here, Broad Street, we are celebrating their work of art. And we really want the West Indians to continue. And it was important, of course, to talk to not only Kyle Mears. In fact, only today we want to thank Cricket West Indies for allowing us to speak not only to Kyle Mears, but of course, we also spoke to Nkuma Bonner. We also spoke to Josh De Silva. And not only that, we were able to get, of course, the family of Kyle Mears' very young daughter. She's just 7 years old. And it was really touching when she said, "Dad, I love you." That's all packaged for you this evening on Mason and Guest. We were also able to speak to his father, to speak to his brother and his sister. And we've got a good show lined up for you this evening. Sad news. Ezra Mosey passed in that fatal accident on the highway. And this is very, very, very sad news. I know Ezra very well. In fact, he's my client. And not only that, only a week ago we were speaking. And Ezra would always talk about West Indies cricket. And you could feel the pain. Like most, of course, of our legends, you know, the guys have not done well. Let's hope that this is a turning point for them. Wonderful man. And I've got a WhatsApp chat going, and only a couple days ago he actually sent me some names of some people to put into that WhatsApp chat, and he really was a wonderful person. And we'd always talk about sweet potatoes and yams. Yes, Ezra Mosley, a man that certainly would call you up and say, "Look, Andrew, there are potatoes at Hannah's, or there are potatoes at Brighton," of course, along with people like Ezra Stewart. Yes, we are country people. And we still remember our roots, and we still love the idea of going into those fields and picking those sweet potatoes and, of course, those yams. And Ezra was one who would always tell you where you should go. May he rest in peace. We're going to have some tributes, of course, a little bit later on. We hope to hear from Spartan. In fact, I spoke to the president only today, but that is going to come a little bit later on in the show. Now, Barbados up against Guyana. Well, well, well. What a performance. What a non-performance by Barbados. Guyana won the toss, decided to bat, and it seems as if the pitch certainly assisted the spinners, and the Barbados team stifled to the point where they lost and couldn't get going at all. One would think that 236 is a relatively modest score, but you've got to give Leon Johnson some credit. Easily the best captain in the Caribbean, very tactically astute, recognizing the importance of taking pace of the ball, bringing the spinners into operation. And the Barbados batsmen could not make a run. And that's not a good start for them. In relation to the that Super 50, which continues tomorrow, Barbados back in the field again. They're going to be playing against the Leewards. The Leewards losing to the Windwards in the first match. And that match was on Sunday, of course. We here are carrying the broadcast on the beat. And you can certainly listen out to that Barbados match against the Leewards tomorrow. We also want to talk to Johnny Grave. There's been a lot of talk about the Sri Lankans not possibly coming, the postponement in relation to the whole question of that test series. We also want, as I said, to go and talk to some of the greats in relation to a tribute to Ezra Mosey. But without any further ado, just around 12 o'clock today, I had the honor of speaking to Kyle Mears, to Nkuma Bonner, and, of course, the Justice Silver, along with Mears' family. And quite naturally, Mears is a happy man.
Thank you very much. I feel great, you know, playing my first test and actually achieving something like that. It was special for me, but still not as hype as everyone as yet. Probably haven't hit me as hard as everyone as yet, but obviously because I still have a job to do and then one more test to play, probably after this series, it was soaking.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that you've been getting so many calls from all around the world.
Yeah, of course. Calls, messages, too many messages. Mm-hmm. I actually only completed answering all the messages yesterday. You know, there's so many messages across all the different social media platforms. Very, very thankful for all the support too as well.
Yeah, a lot of support, not only in your home country, Barbados, but of course, throughout the cricketing world. Many people are extremely elated by your performance. But of course, you would have had assistance from two gentlemen who are with us this evening, Mason and Guest, Nkuma Bono, that stylish Jamaican. Nkuma, how are you, my friend?
I'm not doing too bad. How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, I know it may be past your bedtime, so we're not going to take up too much of your time. What does this performance mean to you? I'm sure that you're extremely elated with the performance, not only of yourself, but of Kyle, and towards the end, Joshua De Silva, to see the West Indies home. What does this mean to you?
Well, first thing, you know, I want to say thank you for everyone that have been supporting me over the years and, you know, been there for me right through. This performance means a lot to me and to the team and, you know, to everyone in the Caribbean. You know, I think this is definitely my childhood dream, to play for the West Indies and actually have an impact, you know, on the match. And, you know, West Indies winning away from home, it really mean a lot to us, and, you know, we couldn't ask for more.
Indeed. And Joshua De Silva, when you came to the crease, still some work to be done, Joshua. That partnership with Kyle was an important one. You must feel on top of the world, the man from the land of Calypso. How are you, Josh?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. It was good watching Kyle and Bonner do their thing for the first two sessions. Gave me a little bit of a break after having to keep for some time. But nah, it was good watching those two get on. Then when I got my chance, it was just to help see the team home and watch Kyle do his thing from the other end.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Ford is all over to you. I know you got some questions, Doc.
Hi, good afternoon to all of you. I'll start with Kyle. Kyle, you've had a long cricket journey and support from many people, as you've mentioned. How important is it to have this opportunity to play Test cricket? Even though you're in a squad with lots of newer people, you know, getting that first Test call up and knowing you would play, how did you feel at that stage?
It felt great, you know. Actually, it was the last box to tick, you know, being selected for the T20 side late last year. And then previous series to this was the ODI series, making my debut in that. And then being given the chance to play Test cricket, to take that final box to play all three formats, it was very special to me. You know, my family always wanted me to become a Test cricketer. And that's something you dream of as a child, you know, getting that baggy cap. So it was very special.
Well, you know, it's in modern times, it's very glamorous to play the T20 leagues. Was Test cricket a priority for you?
To be honest, it's not my favorite format. I prefer 50-over cricket. I really love 50-over cricket. Not saying that I count out Test cricket, but I prefer 50-over. I mean, faster-paced game, but any day cricket is cricket. So, you know, I just go there and try and give my best all the time.
I was reading some of your comments about being a bowling all-rounder more than a batting all-rounder and then maybe transitioning to paying more attention to your batting. How do you feel about those two important aspects of your game, bowling and batting right now?
Coming up, it's been a long journey, you know. Some teams, I probably play as a batter all-rounder. And some some other teams they play as a bowler all rounder, but coming up from young, I was always a batting all rounder. And when I made my my first class debut with CCC, my list A, I played as a bowling all rounder. So then from there, just went straight to Ringwood Islands in the same role as a bowling all rounder. And then obviously after the injury, not being able to bowl as much, I started to focus more on my batting when I came back home and played for the Pride. So for me, that was the turning point to know. Being given the opportunity to bat more and bat higher for the Barbados Pride, and being able to show people that I could bat also, not bowl, was the turning point for me until now. I still think that I have a serious role to play with the ball, not counting out bowling at all. I've been working with Roddy Eswick in the Nets, you know, a few days on my bowling, but right now, obviously, batting has taken priority.
Okay. Nkumo, that you've had a lot of fans in Barbados and certainly around the Caribbean. There's a gentleman who spent a lot of time on Mason and guest Pearson Bovell. He's always talked about you over the years and called for your inclusion in the test squad. Having passed 30, did you feel that opportunity had gone for you before you got the call up to be in the squads to England and had such a good season last year?
Well, yeah, at a certain point, yes. I think, you know, 3 years ago, I was at my lowest. And, you know, I can remember 3 years ago, I wasn't even playing for my national team. You know, and I can remember saying to my mentor that, you know, I'm giving up, I'm packing it up. And, you know, he told me that, you know, I should persevere, I should not give up, I should keep training. And, you know, to play a test match at 32, it's really a dream come true for me.
Okay. So do you want to mention some of the people that helped you to, you know, to persevere and that made the difference for you to be successful over the last 12 months?
Well, definitely. You know, there's Arvi Liggins, there is Jonah Bennett, there is Nikita Miller, there is Andre Cooley. You know, my family, my dad, you know, and friends and other coaches, you know. There have been a lot of people, man, who keep supporting me and all the fans that call in for me and stuff like that. You know, all the encouragement on all the social media platforms and stuff like that. So, you know, everyone has put their input and it's much appreciated by me.
Well, we've talked a lot about the role you played with the bat in the second innings, partnering Kyle and that fantastic double century partnership by the two debutants, but you do bowl some leg breaks. What role do you think the leg breaks will play in the rest of your career? Is it something you work on in the nets or is it all batting?
No, it is something that I love. You know, when I just started out, I used to bowl pretty well. It's something that I've loved, but playing for Jamaica with Odin Brown and Nikita Miller, you know, there wasn't much opportunity to continue bowling. But obviously something I'm working on with Roddy this week. I'm hoping that, you know, I could, you know, get a few wickets with the ball. I've got my first test wicket, my first test match as well. And that felt good, you know. So I'll keep working, keep doing what I need to do to improve my bowling.
In one or two of the innings, you would have gone in, not out overnight. And you didn't really last very long the next morning. Is that something that you've noticed and been working on recently?
Yeah, I think that's something that I've been plaguing me for the last three innings. I knocked out 135 against Windward Island, came the next day, got out. We had a discussion as a batting unit, you know, and there was a lot of suggestion. And, you know, I tried one and it actually worked, you know. So I'm hoping to stick with that formula, you know, for the rest of my career.
Okay, well, good luck to you. Josh, I'll ask Josh some questions. Josh, you've just come into the team. You're the one of the younger players at just 22, I believe. You look assured when you're behind the stumps and at the creases. Is that your personality, or is it just the way you feel about your cricket?
No, well, obviously, I just want to go there and give my best for the team. So whatever I need to do when I get a new wicket, I'm going to do it with full confidence. It was quite nerve-wracking going in there to meet Kyle, but now I just put on a brave face and try my best and play every ball confidently and try and get the job done.
Okay, you came in at a time when the game was in the balance. Kyle was going well. Sometimes we as onlookers consider the roles of batsmen, with one batsman being on the go and in and the other one coming in. Did you have to rein yourself in to try to just be supportive of Kyle, or did you, were you just doing your natural thing in that innings?
No, I just went out there, wanted to get myself in. If I needed to soak up some dot balls to get myself in, it was what I wanted to do. I just wanted to be solid. When I came in, we didn't really need to rush anything. Kyle was doing the damage on the other end, but as I faced a few balls, he told me, "Look, you're looking solid. Just do what you have to do, and we'll take." I asked him what's the plan, and he said, "Well, I just batting right now," and we just went along. I got the singles, and he hit the boundaries, and yeah, I took the chances when I needed to, and we ended up doing the job.
Okay, so West Indies haven't won a test away in Bangladesh for some time, or even away generally. What was the feeling on the morning of the final day of the test match when you had your team meeting? You know, what would you say thinking then would have been the probability of having such a wonderful outcome?
We just wanted to enjoy the day. We wanted to get over that burden. We didn't really make it to the 5 days in New Zealand, or most of the time in England, or even most test matches before that. It always ends on 4 days. So it was a good start to get into the fifth day, and then to actually go on. And we talked about what we needed to do, get that first hour out of the way, have a good first hour. When it just so happened, we had a good first 4 hours. So it was just, we stopped our game plans, and each batsman did what they needed to do, and it worked out.
Okay, if I may just go back to Kyle, Doc, and you're on a good point in terms of the actual game. On the last day, Kyle, the conditions, West Indies 110 for 3. Were you surprised that there was no serious deterioration of the pitch?
The pitch was very deteriorated. I don't know who you're watching, but it was ugly, according to Bonner. When they came to meet me at the crease, he was saying, "Don't watch the pitch ugly." You know, okay. I just played the situation. I just played the ball and took the pitch out of my mind.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I want to ask the question: when did you believe that you could actually win the game? Because of course, at the start of the day's play, 110 for 3, there were really two options as far as many people were concerned: a West Indies draw in the match or Bangladesh win. At what stage, and I'm going to ask all three gentlemen this, when did you really believe you could have won this test match? Let's start with you, Kyle.
We went in the last day with an open mind.
Right.
We are a very positive unit, I must say, and the coach actually mentioned it, you know, told us that the game is wide open, regardless of the situation where the opposition were on top of us for majority of the game. We still believe that at the end of the day, we could have won the game. So after the first session with me and Bonner, actually surpassing the first objective is to get to an hour without losing a wicket, and then we took it to lunch without losing a wicket. And then we came back out and went to tea without losing a wicket. Obviously the confidence in the dressing room and on the pitch got higher.
Okay.
So yes, from then, we knew that the game was well in the balance and we had a chance of winning the game, especially if me and Bonner stay at the crease for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Bonner, your first officer, was doing well. Bonner, as you approached that 100, you got to 86, then you were dismissed. But I thought you batted very well, very confident indeed. What were you saying to to Kyle in this partnership?
Well, obviously, we didn't say a lot, honestly. We encourage each other for most. You know, encourage each other to stay in the moment, enjoy the challenges that come with ball was, you know, whatever, rolling, bouncing, whatever the case may be. You know, we encourage each other to stay positive, not to get into a defensive mindset at any time. I must say, I must give credit to, you know, Craig and the management team for, you know, giving that environment for us to play our natural games, you know, and regardless, you know, stick to our plans, regardless of the situation. And I think really and truly, you know, we really did that and we adapted to the conditions and the situation really, really well.
And Josh, as Dr. Ford said, after Bonner departed, still the game in the balance. I was watching the television, got it very early, and I thought that knock that you played along with Mears was important. And when you got out, the West Indies virtually had gotten over the line. Your role was important as well. Josh?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to go out there and support Kyle. When I got out there, I'm very quite talkative at the crease. So I just told him, whatever he's going to do, just back yourself. I'm going to try and stick around with you and support you. But whatever you do, just back yourself. And he just started going berserk. And I was happy to witness it firsthand in the middle. But I was devastated when I got out. I wanted to keep that average up with a red ink at the end. But
Yes. What happened there, Josh? The ball got between your bat and pads. You're normally tight. Of course, I'm your coach. What happened there? Tell me. How did that ball get through there, Josh?
Nah, I was caught in two minds. I wanted to either lick him over his head, and then I changed my mind last minute and left a little gap. And it was a good ball nonetheless, but shouldn't get me out.
No. I'll tell you this, you know. For me, that four that you hit just over the top, the fielder just coming, you were a defender. I thought it was so clever batting, and it really eased the situation. A couple of balls had gone by. You weren't scoring. I thought that was a very clever shot to hit the ball over the top. I thought you batted the entire a group of you batted with a lot of intelligence, and it was really very good to see the West Indies home. Let me come back to you, Kyle. How do you rate the centers, Kyle Mears? You've played some wonderful innings. I saw you at Kensington Oval in a match for Barbados. It was against the Windwards. 4 wickets down. You made 100. How do you rate the innings?
I think it's one of the best innings I ever played. As I mentioned in previous interviews, it's the longest time I ever batted, first of all. And it is the highest score for me,
personally,
in any cricket. So to achieve that in my first test, you know, it must be, for me, up top, the best innings I've ever played.
Indeed. And would you say the same thing, Nkrumah?
Yeah, I would say the same thing, man. With you know, what has happened before the series, you know, and, you know, all the talk before the series, you know, second string team and whatever the case may be. I think it, well, for me, motivated me a lot. You know, I don't like losing, and none of us like losing. And, you know, to come out and play an innings, you know, an impactful innings, you know, to help the team win, trust me, it's the greatest feeling. And I think it's the best innings I've played so far.
And what has the reaction been like back in Jamaica? I'm sure you've been getting many calls from your friends, like my good friend Orville Higgins. And I know you're very close to the former captain, Miller. I'm sure the Jamaicans are very happy with your performance.
Yeah, definitely. They're very proud, you know, and not only Jamaicans, you know, all the supporters of West Indies cricket is really proud to see we go out there and really fight, you know, and it's a really proud moment for us, and I'm sure it's proud for them as well.
Indeed. Well, I'll tell you, you've got lots of fans in Barbados. In fact, I first recognize your wonderful talent. Ian Bishop spoke about you quite a bit. In fact, Dr. Ford talked about Pearson Bovell, who used to host a show with us. He would always speak about you. You've got that Carl Hooper look like about you in terms of your stroke play. And I really wish you well. And of course, Josh, you've come into the side. You've really settled in very well. And I think we've got three young cricketers that can really go through and do very well for the West Indies. Now, I want to come back to you, Kyle. What are the emotions now from the time you were able to win the game for the West Indies, that little push away with, of course, Cornwall at the crease? How did you feel for the next couple of days? It must be a tremendous feeling and very emotional as well, Kyle.
Yeah, it was. It was a tremendous feeling. Obviously, as I said before, my first game, who would have thought I would have scored a double I not only scored double in the second innings and helped my side to win a test match from behind. I mean, it was an amazing performance by myself. But at the end of the day, I try not to let the occasion get the best of me, you know. I just try to stay cool and calm. As I said, probably after the series, it will really hit me and I will really enjoy the moment a bit more. Having said that, it was emotional, as you said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It came off at lunch. Much people would not believe, but I shed some tears at lunch.
You did?
I was on 91. Yeah, for sure. Because
okay. For
me, playing cricket and making my family happy and the supporters, my supporters happy, that drives me. So coming off at 90-odd, I just thought of, you know what? What are the people back home probably saying? What my mother watching? My dad gonna be watching? You know, my brother gonna be watching? They probably saw a pro. Probably just did, you know, and they shed a few tears before I went back on my back. But being at the crease and finishing the job, it wasn't the feeling I expected, to be honest. I felt as though I was so locked in and winning the game that I wasn't really as emotional as it should have been. But at any day, as I said, hopefully after the series and everything is done and they reach back home and people come with the congratulations and stuff, probably it was sinking then.
Just before I go back to Dr. Ford, perhaps is the ideal time to bring in your family, because you just spoke about your mom and your brothers and your sister. They're very much in line. Hello, mommy, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right, but talk us through your emotions as well. Of course, I see you at Carlton watching your son. It's really tremendous, the kind of support that you would have given to him. How do you feel after this wonderful performance from your son?
I am very elated and I'm very proud of him. He worked really hard to get there. Of course, he would have had some disappointments, but he persevered and he got to the top. He got where he wanted to be and achieved what he wanted to achieve. So I am so proud of him.
Well, I thought it was important not only to speak to Kyle and to Josh and, of course, to Nkumo Bonner, but to bring you in as well, because that family support is so very important. I know you've got a daughter who's an athlete, Tia. Of course, you've got a son as well there. Ronnie, I'm sure they're very much in line. Hello, Tia, how are you?
I am fine, and you?
What are you going to say to your brother now? You would love to hug and kiss him now, huh? Let's take a trip down to Bangladesh.
Yes, I would like to.
How do you feel? How do you feel about this wonderful performance? Talk to your brother. Talk to us.
I am definitely very proud of him, because he definitely came a long way from his ankle injury all the way up, and it is well-deserved.
Mm-hmm. And Ronnie, is he online? Is he a med student, I'm told? Ronnie? Yeah. By the way, are you a cricketer, Ronnie?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, you're... Well, I imagine after your brother's performance, you may want to stop doing med school and go and play some cricket. How do you feel about this performance?
Personally, I'm lost, forward, speechless, all the above. I'm just glad he was able to finally do what he's been capable of doing for how many years, you know? I just believe it's long overdue. And it's like a dream come true, really. And I'm just glad he was able to do that, especially since, like, he's one of the biggest role models in my life. Most definitely, you know, never give up, for sure.
And I can hear the emotion in your voice. I know that Kyle is very close to his family. When I told him that we were going to have the family on, he was quite excited. Talk to Kyle. Talk to him and tell him how much you love him.
Well, I mean, we have talked already, for sure. Well, yeah, one congrats, look. It's just, it's amazing, bro. It's just the beginning, you know, making me in Dubai just now.
All right. Well, I think you need to get a ticket and go down to Bangladesh. Zidane Clark is on the line as well. Now, Zidane is the other cricketer in the family. He plays for Carlton, the same club that Kyle plays for. Hello, Zidane. First of all, I'm keen to know how you got that name, Zidane. Zidane is a great footballer. The child did that name to you.